Have you ever thought about how many words you speak each day? The Bible makes it clear, our speech has the power to encourage, teach, and praise, but it can also tear down, deceive, and cause great harm. James chapter 3 has a lot to say about this battle with our tongue. Whether you lead a Bible study or are just trying to navigate conversations with family and friends, controlling your words is one of the hardest things you'll ever do.
Experts in the field of speech estimate that the average person speaks somewhere around 12,000 sentences every day. Now, if that were published in a paperback book, it would be about 150 pages. I doubt any of us want to end our day by reading that book. We probably said some wrong things. We probably said too many things. J. Vernon McGee once said that it takes a baby 2 years to learn how to talk and then 50 years to learn how to be quiet. And that's true, isn't it? Well, at the same time, our ability to communicate is one of the most unique, special gifts given by God to mankind. The Bible speaks about the vast power of our speech. It can heal, encourage, teach, guide, inspire. We can use our voices to sing, to pray, to praise. Now, of course, the trouble is we can do the exact opposite. We can use our tongues to destroy, discourage, hurt, and deceive. Every day, we make decisions regarding our words. And we have to admit that we never quite get our tongue under control. It's one of the greatest battles all of us will face today. Well, as we set sail today into the third chapter of James, the author has a lot to say about our tongue. Well, first, James begins here with a warning directed especially at teachers who use their tongues, their words, to guide others. James writes here in verse 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." You notice James says, "we who teach." He's including himself in this warning. Those who teach the Bible better pay special attention to what they say, how they handle the Word of God. So be careful, teachers, you preachers, you Bible study leaders today. Don't come unprepared. Don't treat your teaching lightly. Don't teach the Word of God out of pride or teach it incorrectly. We should be like one of my old Bible professors who once told me his greatest fear was teaching his students something wrong. Well, James says here that there's a final exam coming. There's a strict accounting before God, and it's not for the students. It's just for the teachers. Now, James includes himself again here in verse 2. "For we all stumble in many ways." So even the great apostle, the famous pastor teacher of the church in Jerusalem, is admitting here that he stumbles in his speech. Even James has a problem with his tongue, and I'm glad he admitted that, frankly. We all stumble in many ways. Now, in this context, it could be translated, we all stumble in many words. The verb for stumble here means to slip up. And James uses the present tense, which indicates we slip up over and over again. Now, James doesn't say here that we fatally fail, but that we periodically stumble. In fact, James says in verse 2, "If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man." The word he uses for perfect here means fully mature. So James is giving a test we can take at home. We can take it out in the shop where we work. Do you want to see if you're maturing in your walk with Christ? Well, listen to the way you talk. Listen to your vocabulary. Your speech reveals the maturity of your spirit. Now, you might not perfectly, fully evidence maturity at this point, but all of us ought to be making some progress. So don't give up and don't let up either. Now, with that, James offers an encouraging promise. If a person can learn to control his tongue, he writes, he is able to bridle his whole body. What he means is, as you learn how to handle your mouth, you learn how to handle your life. He then illustrates this promise with a horse and a ship here in verses 3 and 4. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Now, beloved, if there's any doubt that our little tongue can bring our entire life into trouble, James clarifies that here in verses 5 and 6. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Wow, that's a pretty strong language, James. The ultimate source of the firestorm our words can create are the fires of hell. In other words, beloved, unkind speech, destructive words, they are the devil's delight. And they advance the devil's plans, his kingdom of discouragement and despair and destruction. Words can destroy marriages. Words can bring nations to war. Words can destroy friendships. Words can divide churches. Words can crush the hearts of little children. The tongue has the power of life and death. And James leads us then to this conclusion, verses 8 and 9. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. He's simply admitting that we can bless God on Sunday and bruise somebody on Monday with our speech. Now get this. James is telling us to control our speech, but he's now just said that nobody can tame the tongue. Well, what James is doing is leading us to the conclusion that we can't do it, but God can. James isn't just trying to, you know, telling us to work at it harder. He's telling us to hand things over. This chapter isn't about tongue control. This chapter really is about spirit control. We simply need the wisdom of God. Now, what James does next is describe the kind of wisdom that gets us into trouble. Verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. In other words, the wisdom of the world is the wisdom of the devil, and it leads to all sorts of evil. You could call this earthly wisdom, wisdom from hell. But there is another kind of wisdom, the wisdom from above. You could call it wisdom from heaven. James describes this heavenly wisdom now with seven characteristics, which is the number of perfection. He writes in verse 17, the wisdom from above is pure. Pure refers to moral integrity. James writes, secondly, it's peaceable. That means it's peace-loving. So godly wisdom pursues peace without compromising the truth. So it's pure and peaceful. Third, James writes, is gentleness. This is willingness to yield to others. Fourth, he writes, it's open to reason. That is, it's easy to work with. Next, he writes that heavenly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. In other words, it not only shows concern for others, it gets involved in helping them. Sixth, heavenly wisdom is impartial. It's not prejudiced. It doesn't show favoritism. And finally, seventh, heavenly wisdom is sincere. That means it is not hypocritical. It doesn't say one thing and then act or do another thing. Now, what does this wisdom produce? Verse 18 tells us a harvest of righteousness. That is a bumper crop of things that are right and good. So as we submit to the wisdom of God's Word and God's Spirit and God's wisdom, just watch. There's a bumper crop ahead. The Spirit's control over your tongue, your speech, your vocabulary will set a new tone for all of your relationships, your goals in life, your demeanor in life. It will set the stage for the rest of your life. This is powerful advice for your life and mind today. Well, with that, I'm reminded of a prayer I heard a long time ago that went like this. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff, then nudge me when I've said enough. Well, I feel that nudge right about now. So until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called The Power of the Tongue. James tells us the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. But while no one can tame it alone, with God's wisdom and the Spirit's control, we can gain victory. Your words can bless and build up, but only if you let the Spirit guide your tongue. Start today. Our ministry is on social media, and it's a great way to stay connected with us. By liking our Facebook page, you'll receive updates on our daily Bible lessons. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram for more inspiration throughout the week. If you enjoy our teachings, be sure and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we post a new message every day. We'd love to interact with you online, but we also need your help. One of the best ways you can support our ministry is by sharing these lessons with others. If you've been blessed by a message, please share it with your family and friends. The more people we can reach, the better. Our website makes it easy to share content. When you access any of our lessons, you'll see share buttons for all the major media platforms. Simply click and share the message with your network. It's a simple way to spread the truth of God's Word to those who need it. Join us on social media and let's reach more people together. In the days ahead, Stephen will continue through the book of James and then the rest of the New Testament. Join us next time to continue your wisdom journey.